السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيبي إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا، نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا، أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Chapter 73 of the Quran is entitled Surah Al-Muzzammil, the enwrapped one. And before I go into this, I have a story to share with you. It's said that one day a man came to the masjid, and every time he came to the masjid, he would let everybody know that he mentioned them in his night prayer, Salat al-Layl. So he'd walk up to people and he'd tell them, Fulan, I mentioned you in Salat al-Layl. Fulan, I mentioned you in Salat al-Layl. He kept doing this night after night after night, every time he would come to the Maghrib prayer. Until one day they turned to him, they said, buddy, we understand. Okay, you do Salat al-Layl every night. We get the point, we get the message. You don't have to remind us of that. So, you know, he got the message, and the next night he came to the masjid. And he didn't mention anything, he didn't say anything. But there was a gentleman who was walking around and passing out water to people, to the congregants. And if you've noticed, you know, in here we keep it in the lobby, but in other countries they have people passing out tea and coffee and water. So someone was passing out water, so he came up to this man. And he gave him some water, he drank some, and he got another cup, he said some more, drank another cup, third cup, fourth cup. They turned to him, they said, Fulan, what's wrong with you? Why are you drinking so much? He said, you know, it's nothing, I was spending my time in Salat al-Layl last night, so I was very thirsty. He had to get his point across. The reason I mention that story is because chapter 73, Surah al-Muzzammil, most of this chapter is dedicated to the topic of tahajjud. Tahajjud is the night vigil, the night prayer. And it's more general than when we say Salat al-Layl. Today when you say Salat al-Layl, it refers to a specific salah, a specific prayer that is offered, which is 11 rak'ah, which you all know how to perform. But tahajjud is something which is more general than that. Tahajjud refers to a night vigil, standing at night, praying, dedicating a portion of the night to prayer and to dua. And the chapter begins with Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. It calls upon the enwrapped one, or the cloaked one. Who is Al Muzzammil? Who is this referring to? It's referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And according to a narration by Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that the Prophet is referred to in the Quran by seven different names, seven different titles. So you might learn something here. For those of you who take notes, you want to note this down. So what are those names that he's referred to in the Quran? One is Ahmad. Okay. He is referred to as Ahmad once, just once, in chapter 61. Who refers to him as Ahmad in the Quran? Who is speaking the discourse when the name Ahmad is mentioned? Who? Isa alayhi salam. When he says that there will be a Rasul, a messenger that will come after me, and he will be known as Ahmad. So this is one. Another one, Yasin, chapter 36. Taha, also Taha. So that's three. Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we have Muhammad, Ahmad, Taha, Yasin, Muzammil, Muddathir. That's cheating because you teach the Quran. And one more. Nabi is title, but name. It's in Surah Al-Jinn. وَلَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. He's known as Abdullah. So Muhammad, Ahmed, Abdullah, Taha, Yasin, Al-Muzammil, Al-Muddathir. Those are the seven names that the Prophet is known by. Some are, of course, used more often than others. Some are only used once. But Al-Muzammil refers to the enwrapped one, the cloaked one, the shrouded one. And chapter 96, Surah Al-Alaq, tells us of why he was wrapped. Why was he cloaked? Why was he shrouded? And that's because when he first received the revelation from the angel Gabriel, he was in shock and he was in awe. Chapter says, "Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila." So the message that we're giving to you is a heavy one. And so the Prophet, he felt the heaviness of the message physically. Physically, it changed his stature. You know, sometimes you receive a message, a text message or an email, and physically you feel something is different. Physically, you feel heavier. Or you feel stomach pain, for instance. Or you feel a headache, if it's from a spouse especially. But the message that he received, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا, something which is very heavy. And so, you know, a point that one of the scholars brought up, he said, imagine. Now the Prophet was someone who was truthful. He was honest. He was trustworthy. For 40 years he built a reputation of truthfulness, trustworthiness, and honesty. But when he received the revelation, it wasn't casual. He didn't just come down from the mountain one day and say, "Hey guys, by the way, I received the revelation today." Even if he did that, he would be believed because he built a reputation of truthfulness. However, that was not the case. It was not casual. The Prophet felt the need to find refuge, not with his buddies. He found refuge in his home, by his wife, the one that he knew would support him, Khadija. And she was known, that was a highlight of her character. We've spoken about this before. You know, many years later, other people that were in the Prophet's life would say to him, "Why do you still remember that toothless old lady?" Because he would remember Khadija and he would weep. And they would tell him that God has replaced you with women that are better. And he would say, "By God, no, God has not replaced with women that are better. She believed in me when others disbelieved." So when the Prophet knew that people would disbelieve, he went to the people that would believe. And that person, the person at the top of that list was Khadija bint Khuwaylid, his wife, and then, of course, being the first to accept Islam, and the second was Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, you know, the Prophet was in awe. It wasn't something that was just casual. And so because of that, he found the need to cloak himself. And so there are two descriptions of that in the Qur'an. One is, Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Muddathir means the one that's covered. Muzammil, not just covered, but shrouded as well. So sometimes when you sleep, you just have a blanket on top of you. But sometimes if you're feeling cold or if you're feeling sick, you feel the need to wrap yourself. So that act of wrapping himself, God tells him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, oh you who has cloaked yourself, oh you who has wrapped yourself. And so commentators, they suggest the following. Because God tells him, قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. قُمْ means stand up. So you're covered, you're stand up. Stand up for the night vigil, for the tahajjud. قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So stand for the night, except for a small portion of the night. Dedicate that to resting. Now why did God say it in that manner? Because In this, because in this context, the Prophet, before Islam, part of his worship practices was to stand the entire night in prayer. And narrations say that sometimes he would stand on one foot. And in this chapter, chapter 73, the last verse, verse number 20, it describes how the Prophet and a group of believers in the early days of Islam would spend their entire nights standing in prayer until their feet would swell. Not only that, so you may think, okay, well, why? This was a common practice. The Quran tells us that this was a common practice, not only amongst the Muslims, but also amongst the people of the book. So if you look at chapter number 3, Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some of Ahlul Kitab, some of the people of the book. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and this is verse 113. لَيْسُوا سَوَاءً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ So there's a group of the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab, who spend their entire nights in vigil. So it was a common practice of people who worship God, whether they identified as Muslim or they did not identify as Muslim, to spend much of their time in night vigil. They dedicated most of that time. Now, some commentators have said that the wording here is very interesting, because God is telling him, remove the shroud, remove the cover, not the shroud, remove the cover or remove the cloak, remove that sheet, that blanket, whatever it is, and stand in prayer. And you notice the most challenging thing to do when it comes to our daily prayers is what? Is lifting the blanket. As strong as you are physically, when your alarm goes off in the morning for the morning prayer, lifting the blanket is probably the toughest part of it all. Once you lift the blanket, you're able to get up. But it doesn't matter how much you're able to bench press at the gym. Some guys are able to lift 500 pounds, but they're not able to lift the blanket from on top of them. Because it's not an issue of physical strength. It's an issue of mental and spiritual strength. That's where true strength actually comes from. You know, I give this example all the time, but if any of you are familiar with, have either served or are familiar with the military or military practices, the elite parts of the military, whatever country you go to, the elite parts of the military, if you look at here in the United States, the Navy SEALs and the Green Beret and this and that, the challenges that they put them through are not only physical, but they're also very mental. They're meant to break them mentally. They leave them alone in the woods for 10 days or 2 weeks and tell them, go find your way. With no shelter, with food, they have to forage food or whatever. They put them underwater. They test how long they can be underwater. That's not just how big your lungs are, but it's about how mentally strong are you. So mental and spiritual strength trumps physical strength. And that's why, you know, it's very, the wording here is very carefully chosen. In the morning, early in the morning, do you have the will to remove the blanket to get up, is the question. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نَصْفَهُ أَوْ إِنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. So, we said that the night vigil, tahajjud, was a common practice. It was a common practice with the Prophet and some of the early believers and some of the people of the book. And so what the Qur'an is telling the Prophet here is that dedicate a portion of it to tahajjud. Don't dedicate the entire night. Dedicate some of that night to prayer. You have to be, and what is being said here is that in your ritual practices, you have to exercise moderation. Some people spend entire days and entire months and entire years in ruku' and sujood. Now that's okay if you're taking care of the other aspects of life. But some people neglect other aspects of life, the physical aspect of life, the relationship aspect of life, having relationships with people at the expense of, or for the sake of, standing an entire night in prayer. So the Quran is telling the Prophet, even you, Ya Rasulullah, you need to exercise moderation. Now there's a difference between moderation and balance. Let me talk a little bit about moderation and balance. See, balance is when you have different compartments in your life. When you have different quadrants in your life. So you have, you know, work in one area, you have family in one area, you have school in one area, you have recreation in another area. And so there's that notion of you have to find balance between all of these things, right? A popular term is work-life balance. But when something is a lifestyle, it's part of your lifestyle, there's no such thing as balance. So when we look at our faith, Islam, we consider Islam as a lifestyle. Meaning what? Meaning that you look at all these different areas in your life, your work, your family, your recreation, all of that is not separate from Islam. Meaning Islam should permeate all those different aspects. Meaning that when it comes to your family life, there should be an aspect of Islam within that. When it comes to your work life, there should be an aspect of Islam within that. When it comes to your recreation, how do you have fun? You live in a country where there's unlimited ways to have fun. Anything that you want is available. But Islam should also be a part of that. Balance is different than moderation. Moderation, you say moderation between two different things. It's like imagining a scale with, what do they call in the middle? It's a fulcrum, is that the proper term? The scale, and you have two sides of the scale, and you're moderating between two sides, right? That's where there has to be moderation. When it comes to our ritual practices. قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ So God is telling the Prophet here, instead of spending all of that time standing in night vigil, نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا So spend half of it in prayer and half of it in vigil. أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا Or take less than half of that. There's a narration, and it talks about the merits of spending time. And by the way, you know, when we look at giving up time, because sleep, essentially, you're supposed to sleep at night. Some people sleep during the day and are awake at night. But the Quran says that we've created sleep at night. The way that you've been fashioned as a human being is that sleep takes place at night. So some people think, well, sacrifice. You have to sacrifice some of that time. And if you think about it, it's not really a sacrifice. Sacrifice is usually when you take something of greater value and you give it up and receive something lesser in value. So you sacrifice $5. If I give $5 and I get back $3, that's a sacrifice. It's a trade-off, yes, but it's not a sacrifice. It's a privilege. A privilege is when you're able to... You're able to receive more in value than what you give. So, having said that, when you look at ritual aspects such as the night prayer, it's truly a privilege and an honor. Because everybody has the same amount of time, 24 hours. But some people aren't able to harvest that and manifest that to give to devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That requires a special privilege and a special honor. You know, then the month of Ramadan is fast approaching. And in that month, there's a special supplication that we read, Dua Abu Hamza. And this is authored by our fourth Imam, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. And in that he says, one of the passages of that supplication, he says, Oh Allah, what is it that happens that every time I try to remember you, and I try to stand in prayer, I'm taken over by the need to sleep. Or every time I try to find myself associating with the right people, I'm distracted and I'm taken away. Perhaps it is something that I am doing in this world that is distracting me from remembering you. Some people say, I don't have the time to stand in prayer. It's not that you don't have the time. It's probably something that you're doing throughout the day that is not giving you the privilege and the tawfiq of standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before we look at time and whether we have time or do not have time, we should look at our actions throughout the day. And are your actions throughout the day preparing you to actually stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are they taking you further away? قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Recite the Quran, tartil. Tartil means at a measured pace. And one of the descriptions of the Prophet is when he would recite the Quran, he would do so at a measured pace. He would not, you know, mix one after another. He would slow down. He would take his time giving proper pronunciation to the verses. So here the Quran is also referred to as a form. So a part of that night vigil, a part of that tahajjud is reciting Quran. So the Quran is also referred to as a form of worship. And I'll end with this. Because here, you know, the greatest manifestation of tahajjud, the night vigil, is Salat al-Layl. And in the beginning, when, you know, at the advent of Islam, there was no prayer, the five daily prayer that we had. That came many years later after the event of the Isra and Mi'raj. And so, later it became known that through the narrations of the Prophet and through the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that the greatest manifestation of tahajjud, that night prayer, is Salatul Layl, the specific Salatul Layl, the one that is taught in the books of dua, such as Mafatih al-Jinan. And one of the commandments, if you will, or one of the recommendations that the Prophet had to Imam Ali alayhi salam, he turned to him one day. He said, Ya Ali, alayka bi salat al-layl, alayka bi salat al-layl, alayka bi salat al-layl. He said it three times to him. Alayka means upon you, meaning it's almost as if the Prophet is telling him, it's obligatory upon you to pray salat al-layl. And I won't go too much into it, but there's so much content in our narrations that tells us of Salat al-Layl. One is that if Salat al-Layl becomes a habit, one of the ways that it manifests itself, because we believe that our deeds, whether they're good deeds or bad deeds, they manifest themselves in the grave. We take it to the grave. And it actually manifests itself in one way or another, either in the form of bliss or in the form of punishment. And one of the ways that Salat al-Layl manifests itself is that it becomes nur, it becomes illumination in the grave. If any of you have been to the graveyard and you've looked down into a grave, how dark it is. And this is with the grave uncovered. Imagine again, Dua Abu Hamza describes, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he describes that moment. He says, where will I find comfort? He says, If I don't redeem myself in this world, then in what state will I find myself when I'm in the darkness of that grave? When I'm in the tightness of that grave? Not just the qabr, but the lahad as well. Which, if you've seen, a lahad is a part of the grave that... So a grave, you would dig vertically. Lahad is where you dig vertically and then horizontally. It's a tight space inside of the grave. The Imam refers to those two places. He says, if I don't redeem myself, then what kind of state will I find myself? In the darkness and the tightness of that place. So one of the purposes of the night vigil, Salat al-Layl, is that it serves as a nur, an illumination of the grave. And my recommendation would be for those who sometimes you miss it, you can also make it up. Many of our mustahab prayers, they can be done in qada. Even if you make up two of the rak'ah, even if you make up one of the rak'ah, even if you do a shortened version of that is counted. Part of why it's so special is because it's at night. Because at night there's a different energy than there is during a day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. He says, Nashi'at al-Layl, which is the prayer, that which is done at night, the night vigil, its impact, it has a deeper impact than what takes place during the day. Because during the day is the hustle and bustle. Usually when you're doing your noon prayers or your afternoon prayers, You're rushing, you're trying to find time between work, or when you do your Maghrib prayers, you're rushing home after work. When it comes to the nighttime, there's no more rushing. It's a different energy completely. And that's the time where, you know, during the day you have your conscious mind. At night, after midnight, is when you have your subconscious mind, which is activated. And there's a whole slew of literature that you can read about what happens with the subconscious mind. When you train your subconscious mind, that they've done studies and that they found that so many people who are successful in this world, that comes from the strengthening of their subconscious mind. And you know what your subconscious mind is thinking about just by what you're dreaming about at night. Sometimes we see dreams that make no sense at all, and sometimes we have dreams that are meaningful. That's your subconscious mind going to work. And so that's why that prayer is so specific, because it's dedicated to that time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us the tawfiq to stand in front of Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this holy month, the month of Rajab, and the upcoming months, the month of Sha'ban and Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow these to be months of mercy and forgiveness for us, months in which we spiritually prepare ourselves for the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat tabi' baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat innaka mujibu al-da'awat innaka qadhi al-hajat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. There's a couple of events that are coming up here at the IECOC. One is on Saturday, April 21st, the Mawlid, the celebration of the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We have distinguished reciters and speakers nationally and internationally. That will be Saturday, April 21st, here at 7:15 p.m. Another event, it's organized by the Shia Muslim Council of Southern California, Sunni and Shia Islamic Thought, Prospects and Challenges. This will be Saturday, April 28th, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at UCI. And we will be sending out these flyers by email, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-Asr inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr wa sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.